في arkadaşım yine Emeritus'a discuss görüşürüz. Rabbi Mori Rabbi Willig görüşürüz. Rabbi Rabbi Bleich. We're going to discuss the topic of Mubarak Minek Three aspects. One is it a low plug? Just make a few haaretz about that. Then go over the discussion in general, the sugya, the kulas that the poskim discuss. And then finally, focus on tshuvas about artificial insemination.
Before you do that, how to off the press, there's a fact in the best of the famous serving of everyone
in the night.
How off the press?
Okay.
He must have this special sauce.
So I have people to send me.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
That's an important question.
No, I'm sorry.
So good. Okay. So we're not going to get to that, although maybe Mirzam knows if we properly analyze the sugya, we'll probably hopefully get to understand what we should say about that. This type, the sugya has been well trodden and discussed for centuries by all the tshuvas and the Rishonim, Achronim. You see, it was a very, very difficult question that came up all the time, common, and there's many kulas because the basic premise is often very difficult for a woman who is just either divorced or widowed to have to wait if she has a child, if she's either pregnant or has a young child that she's nursing, she has to wait 2 years before she's able to get remarried. Often the theme in the tshuvas are either it's extremely rich family and they're pushing for one reason or the other because they're worried about the lady becoming a zona, that she wants to get remarried sooner, or because they're extremely poor, she has five little kids and no one supports her, and then she found some wonderful man that's willing to do a chesed and he has a few of his own kids or something like that and wants to marry her and doesn't want to wait more than 2 years. Anyway, the question is Mubar Machaver Menek Chaver Lo Plug? Simply, the Gemara in Ksubas on Samach Beis quotes the story of Rav Nachman that Rav Nachman is Shara the Beirish Galuta that they shouldn't have to wait 2 years to get married, Menek Chavero, because they hired a Meneket on behalf of one of the women. And then the Gemara says, even though Rav Papa and Rav Huna were going to, Rav Papa and Rav Huna wanted to say, once you hire a Meneket, it's going to be Mutter. And the Gemara was basing itself on a story with Rav Nachman, who matured for the Reish Galusa, that they hired a Meneket. The Gemara says, how can you say such a thing? We have a Braisa that says by Havchana, waiting from one husband after his divorce or widow, since she's able to get remarried, she has to wait 3 months. So this way, there's no confusion between the child from the first husband and the second husband. Says, well, Haita Rudupa Leilech, this is the first source, Leilech Levin Avia, if she was going to her parents' house, or Kas Vivina Bailo, she has a fight with her husband, oh, you Bailo Vichavo Shaveda Sorni, he was in jail, oh, Halacha Bin Dalamadina Yamar, he was over in an island, oh, he was Zokain, Chola, Akara, Zakena, Island, and Katana. One of them wasn't able to have children for lots of reasons, Ama Palad Achar Mita Bailo. Chin related, all these cases, 12 cases, Kula and Tzerech Lahamtin, doesn't make a difference. Shlosh Chodesh, we have to wait 12 months. Dear Emei, Rosh Hashanah, when he quotes this, says, ah, and even if Eliyahu Navi came and told us that he wasn't, she wasn't pregnant, we still have to wait. It's based on the Gemara says in the beginning of the fourth, in the beginning of the fourth paragraph of the Yevamos by not doing Chalitza in the first 3 months. And the Gemara asked that as a question, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Afilu Yavo Eliyahu, just a daf or two. Earlier in Yevamos, the sugya in Yevamos is on Mem Beis. This is Mem Aleph, not very far away. So, Pashas the Gemara is that it doesn't matter if she's pregnant, even if they're Bebet Asurim or Bemedina Sayam, it makes no difference. We tell her to wait 3 months for Avchana. Says the Gemara, it's the same idea should apply to Mubarak Minek Chavero. How could Reish Lakish, how could Rav Nachman allow Beirish Galusa to get married within 2 years? And the Gemara says, Rav Papa and Rav Huna respond, Lavadaita, we didn't realize this Braisa, you're right, and therefore it's Asura. Now, basically, it sounds like Nivcha Reish Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had an idea. Maybe he did Paschal like that. Bottom line, we can't Paschal like that. The Hilchata, the Gemara says, Me Mutur Gamotel Asur. If the child died, then we don't say Me Nekom Uber Chaviro. And the Gemara says, well, even that's questionable because once upon a time there was a lady, Uvda Vitechan Katei Chas Hashem, suffocated, killed her child, so maybe we should be concerned that a woman's going to kill her child in order to remarry, so therefore we shouldn't allow that. And the Gemara says, Lohi, Vishota, Havya, that was crazily. We don't have any proof from that story in general. But, though, Gamalto, if she weans him and stops nursing, we're not worried about that. And that's Hilchotah, that's allowed. She's allowed to get remarried within 2 years if it was Gamalto, if she weans him. Okay, so we'll come back to some of these things. But Rashi on the Gemara right there says, Lo plug Rabban the Bitakana Gazer Chalahem initially. It seems to be a total low plug. I know Nehemiah Wiener brought a very thorough discussion of Havchana. I'm only trying to make a small ha'ara related to what he mentioned. When do you say low? When do you say low plug? When do you not? And you have to answer some of the questions. I'm sort of assuming the approach of low plug, and I will have to answer a lot of the questions that he raised, sometimes the dochak, that it was not included in Takana. Okay? But this, I think, is a Rashi Mefurish, and he says, just like we say by Havchana, hachanami low plug rabbanu b'menekat. The same way we say by Havchana Hotu, we say for Har Sugya, a woman who is nursing to have to wait 2 years. It doesn't matter if she's actively nursing, not actively nursing, or she found a wet nurse to take care of the child. It doesn't make a difference. We always say 2 years. That's a Rashi. Rashi also says the same thing by Havchana in Yavamos earlier. It doesn't make a difference on the Flam and Bav. Then the Mefarsh Shulchan Aruch Chol Mechug Beit Shmuel 4 and 5 in the sources. They're talking about a man who cannot have children, a saris. Could a woman who is nursing marry a man who can't have children? The Gemara's reason for not getting married is because maybe she's going to become pregnant while she's nursing her child, and she's going to stop nursing the child from the previous marriage, and then she's not and not take care of that child. The new husband is not going to want to support the new child, give him food, and that child, unfortunately, will die. So therefore, Chazal, we're worried she can't get married for 2 years. However, what about if the next husband is saris? He can't have children. So what's the problem? She can be with the next husband, and she's not going to become pregnant. The Mefarshim Shulchan Aruch says that's exactly what the Gemara means to say saris is asur because of a low plug. It doesn't matter pregnant, not pregnant. It's all included in the Gezeira. The Aruch HaShulchan says, the Chalma Ben Yamin says, this is what you see in the Gemara. Fine. The Rosh, also in according to the Beit Yosef, has a woman. It's by Havchana, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and he also says the Seirish Lo Plug as well at the end of that tshuva. That's end of 6. Turning the page, the Torah quotes that it's a Lo Plug. You know, maybe I should just spell it out a tiny bit more. The Rush's question was about a woman who was pregnant, and she was pregnant from Reuven, and she thought she was married to Reuven. She said that she had Kiddushin with him. And then she comes and gets a new Kiddushin to Shimon, and they get divorced from Shimon. Now she wants to go back to Reuven, and everybody's worried, wait a minute, was it 3 months? So the Rosh says, what happened with the Kiddushin to Reuven? He says, was there Edom? He says, no, there was no Edom, nothing. So he says, "There's no. That's not called Kiddushin. You need 2 Edom and Davar. Great. They're not married to Reuven. She is married to Shimon, but she got divorced from Shimon. She needs to now wait 3 months. But she's pregnant from Reuven, from the first before. So says the Rosh, it doesn't make a difference when we're talking about Havchana, when we want to distinguish between children of the previous marriage and this marriage, and it doesn't really make sense to have Havchana in this case. It doesn't make a difference. Lo plug, she got divorced from Shimon, a real get. She absolutely cannot get married back to Reuven without 3 months. So that's a lo plug. The Chacham Chug of Beit Shmuel, this quote in Shulchan Aruch Beit Shmuel, Chacham Chug quote this, they add their own reason. They say, this is a good reason, but there's another reason, because maybe not everybody's going to know that she wasn't actually married to Shimon. People will think, hey, she was married to Reuven. And now she was married to Shimon, and now she's going back to Reuven, so they're going to need 3 months. Not everybody's going to realize with the story that the child is from Reuven, and they might think the child's from Shimon. Good. The Atze Almogim, that's quoted in the Rosh Pina, he says, for sure the real reason you want to know of the Rosh is because of the reason people won't know. In Yadu the rabbi, not everybody knows who the kid's father is. So that's why it's awesome. But it's not actually a low plug. It's quoted in those in our postgame with no cholik. It's very unfortunate that happened because the Atei Razim didn't see the Rosh inside. Neither in the it's absolutely mafurish in the Rosh. It says the word is low plug, and he doesn't supply any other reason that's lo Yadu the rabbi. Chol Mechugik and Beit Shmuel don't even say the Rosh says that. They purely added their own reasons. So Atei Razim who says the real reason the Rosh is because of a non-low plug, because people don't realize. But if people realize it would be mutter, so it's a complete mistake. It's absolutely not true what the Rosh said. It's not what the Beis Yosef, the Torah quote, Beit Shmuel. So there's Lechora, no reason that we should quote or we should pass on like that. Atei Razim. We should pass on what the MS, what the Rosh, the Torah, Chol Mechugik and Beit Shmuel do say. It is a low plug. The Rosh in other contexts, 10, says, again, by our concept of Mubarakah, that it is a low plug, and it doesn't matter if she's actively nursing or not. She's Rui Lahanik, she could. Now that brings up an important question, which is Shita of Simuk Tanim. If she cannot possibly nurse the Shulpanim, that's his language, then she doesn't actually have to wait 24 months if this happened before her husband died. And that's quoted in Sif Yud Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch. And that's a big discussion I'll try to get back to when I get to the Kulas. Okay, but seemingly, the Rosh is pretty clear. We had two tshuvas of the Rosh. It's a low plug. The Rivash also says it's a low plug. The Ran says it's a low plug. When they're discussing this Shita, Rabbi Yaakov, that Dagos Maimani, tshuvas Maimani quote, that had this idea that we should matir if a woman gets a wet nurse and makes a wet nurse take a shvua, I'm definitely not going to be choserba. I'm definitely not going to retract. I'm going to take care of your kid for 24 months. So wonderful. Then the woman's allowed to get remarried. But the Rosh has a language. They forced him to make sure to retract what he ever said. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, if it's Asir Bain, if she's Meneket Bain, not Meneket Bain, if they find a wet nurse and they're Mashbil Dad Rabin, that Kula was sort of dead and buried. And as many of the Kulas we're going to bring up, that one, to some degree, never returns completely. Although it comes up as a sniff and almost in half the truth, but never as a complete Sadla Kula. And the Rivash says the reason it's wrong is because of low plug. The Ran says that same reason to reject that Svara. Okay? What about ideas? Is there anybody that sounds like it's not a low plug? So I had definitely, there are some sources, and it's probably Machlo Rishon and probably different, and I think part of the answer is going to be simple, that the Rashba, when talking about this sort of question, could we apply Kula just like Rav Nachman did, Bizman Hazeh, by hiring a wet nurse, and we're not afraid of her being Chozerba, and the answer, he says, well, maybe you can't do it because only by the Reish Galuta, because it's understood, one second, people are afraid of the Reish Galuta. Only because the people are afraid of the Reish Galuta, that's why we're not afraid of being Chozerba, but he didn't say because of low plug. The Rush also sounds like this. The only reason he rejected his Rabbi Yaakov idea that when you hire a wet nurse, we are still not going to allow her to remarry within 2 years. It's not because of low plug. He didn't say the Rivash reason. He said because Reish Galusa idea, everybody's afraid of them. But it's not as Yadu, it's not as well known. When I personally just decide to hire a wet nurse, therefore it's not allowed. It sounds like in this Rush, in the Halachot, not like in those two truths I quoted before, it's not a low plug. It just has to be very well known. If it's very well known that she hired a wet nurse and she's not actually nursing, so she's not a Meneket, nothing to worry about. The same thing with that tshuva, with the Rush about Simuk Dadim, might also sound like it's not low plug. So I think the answer is, this is the simple, basic answer. Some things aren't included in the Gezeira, and then we say a low plug. The things that are not included in the Gezeira are not part of the low plug. A woman that's possible to nurse, she's decided not to nurse, that's part of the low plug. It doesn't matter if she's marrying a guy that's going to be a Saris or not going to be a Saris. It doesn't matter if she's decided to nurse or not decided to nurse. However, if we're discussing, she's not actually a Meneket at all. Before her husband died, she's not actually actively nursing at all, because she gave the child to Meneket, to wet nurse, or if she is Simo Dadim, that we could discuss. Is that included in a Gzeiro of Chachamim or not? But that's not included the exact low plug, because that's not the direct case of Meneket. She is no longer actively nursing. Okay? So as long as I could explain why it's not technically included. Yes. Important question, yes. So it's a wonderful Svara. But Lamaisa Pashas, nobody says it for the reason that the Gemara brought up. Why don't you say by a husband himself, he can't be with his wife for 2 years because maybe they're going to get pregnant and she's going to kill the kid, the first kid, because she's not going to nurse the kid. So the Gemara says, yeah, but they'll feed the kid eggs and milk. So just and still, the Gemara says, so why don't you do that by someone else, just feed the kid? The Gemara says, no, because the husband's going to be cruel and not give the second husband's not going to say, I don't really care about this kid from this other marriage, I'd rather him die. I'm not going to feed him. So just because we have formula, but maybe there's not going to be anyone to pay for it. Oh, never nurse.
Never nurse.
So according to the Rosh, right. According to the Shulchan Aruch, if she's able to nurse, not Simuk Dadim that she couldn't nurse, if she's able to nurse, she decided not to nurse, and then her husband dies, then she'd still be included in the Gezeira. If she, for 3 months before her husband died, she wasn't nursing, so then by that time the the smack says she obviously has zimuk tanim, she now can't nurse anymore at this point, so then yes, then that will be included in the drasha. But formula, if someone just changed, decided at this point, you know, they started nursing and then they changed their mind, now I'm going to use formula, that doesn't fundamentally change the situation, because it's just the same idea as what the Gemara had as milk and eggs. Okay. That's the end of the question if it's a low plug or not. I just want to raise the possibility that from many sources, I wouldn't deny the concept that Pashtus is a low plug. However, there are sources that, to the contrary, and what we see in the postkim, this concept, I was trying to describe and try to make it a little clearer, when the Chashash is actually relevant, that we're worried that she's going to be Shema Tigmeher Ligmal Tov, maybe she's going to wean the kid too early. She's not going to nurse the kid as long as she should have. In those sort of cases, a low plug is much more reasonable, that we should be more machmir and say that Chazal said it to us, so we're not going to make any distinction, as opposed to where she's not actively nursing and she never was actively nursing. So if we can explain why she's not including the gezerah technically, so we won't say it's a low plug there, we're not going to make up as many gezerahs and say that she should be included. If we can give a reason why Chazal were machmir for this person, but not for other people, like this person who they hired a wet nurse, but maybe this wasn't well known that they hired a wet nurse, so then people are going to get confused. But for everybody else, if there would be a case where we can get out of it, that would be allowed. Okay, so there is such a distinction in the postkim. When she's actually meneket, and when she's not actively meneket, not by her utzon. Yeah. I'm not saying any chiddush. I'm just noting the tension, and I'm suggesting the answer that I think is the pashut direction to go with. It's not going to help explain very, very much, other than we're going to have to go through the details of all the postgame. Just to bring up the fun question that Rav Moshe by Avchana, the tshuva that I really do want to get to, because when we're talking about artificial insemination, a big discussion will be about this question. Then Nechemiah brought up the tshuva, Rav Moshe, regarding Havchana by a get that was written badly, fine. And the end of that show, he quotes Rav Hinkin, where he says, well, maybe we shouldn't worry too much about Havchana nowadays, because there's a law that a husband and wife, they can't, after they get divorced, they can't live in the same place. Now, that's no longer a law. I don't know when it was, if it was, ever was a law. So he says, they're not really worried about Havchana, that they're going to be living together. And therefore, even though the Gemara gives me 12 cases of low plug, a reduce in the day that she was in, so if they were civil, she was running away from him and he was in jail and in overseas and Akara, they couldn't have a child no matter what. Still, the 13th case the Gemara never says, which is this case. What if they got civilly divorced but not halachically divorced? Then maybe she got 3 months from the civil divorce because the law is that they shouldn't be together. So Rav Moshe says efsher. He says he's not relying on it by himself, but on that alone, but he says that's an efsher possibility. Yes, Rav Shafter doesn't think that we should say that. There's no such distinction between 12 and 13. The Gemara gives 12 cases, because this was not the law in the days of the Gemara. 12 includes 13. Now Rav Moshe obviously knows there's a difference between 12 and 13. He says maybe you could say 12, because in each one of those cases people can make a mistake and think that they look like they're married. But by this 13th one, everybody knows civilly divorced means they look like they're not living the ish v'ishto, as opposed to, and if this 13th case, they've been civilly divorced, they don't look like they're living husband and wife. Okay, that's Rav Moshe's suggestion, but definitely rides on this particular question of how much is Havchana a low plug. On that, I would think Rav Moshe's approach seems not very much to assume, generally speaking, Havchana is completely, completely a low plug. Maybe the Atei Rosen, there might be sources that support what he's saying. I think it's not so simple. Okay, moving on. I tried summarizing 10 big kulas that are found in the postkim. The Pesach Tshuva is full of tshuvas trying to find kulas one after the other. The first one is that if there's a woman who becomes pregnant out of wedlock as a mezana, and they're both, and then she wants to marry the guy from whom she became pregnant, and the Beis Shmuel says shneim modim, her and him are both modim that the child is his. Do you have to assume that maybe one of them is lying? That maybe that they're lying and she became pregnant for someone else? And this is a problem of Meneka and Mubarak Haberu. Bishmol, two places, and our Simba says, no problem, that's fine. Just like in Hilchot Mamzerus, we trust the father. And just like in Hilchot Chalit, so we could say that this kid is my kid, and El Pater, the wife, for having to do chalitza. Very nice, says the Beis Shmuel, that works here as well. A whole long list of achronim in the Pesach Tshuva all readily accept this. Avodah Gershon, Yisrael said, Yishuas Yaakov, the Bris Avram says, the Minig of the Morim, the Nodavi Huda Chasim Sofer, go on and on. There is an, it didn't make it to the Pesach Tshuva. The Pesach Tshuva doesn't quote anybody who disagrees. But there is, in the Ozer postgame, a few, the Shava Kohen, Har Hamor, he quotes four postgame that disagree, because it's very nice that Beis Shmuel says it over here without quoting any Chokim, but the Rambam in his Chalitza says for a Shaila of Chalitza, you cannot rely on his say-so that they both agree that this kid came from them. Because the Rambam Paskin, it's like one law shown in the Gemara Yivamos, that a husband who says, this is my kid, yeah, we're going to trust him in terms of Mamzeres, we will not trust him in terms of Chalitza, and therefore we're worried she's going to need chalitza. Maybe the kid's not the father. It doesn't come from this father. So, very nice, the Ramah Paskin, the Rosh, that we do trust the father, but what about the Rambam? And then he gives other reasons, the Machmer, the Sheva Kohen. I think it's very possible for the Beis Shmuel to answer that that's nice, the Rambam was Machmer on a question of deraisa, of a chalitza, but you see, by Mamzer anyway, we're Mekel, and that's also deraisa, but there we have something Mamzer Lekula. But here, this is completely derabana, Muber Menek Chavero, according to the pashas of the, according for sure, the sugya Muber Menek Chavero is a derabana. Okay? That's one possible answer to get into. What the post can really work out a lot of hairy details is if there's an amala, a woman who originally said this guy is the husband, the father from the child, and the guy said, no way, I have nothing to do with this, and I just want to marry her anyway. And then he changed his mind. After they pressured him, they increased the nidunya, or whatever the reason is, or they started slandering him one way or the other, he ends up giving in. He says, yeah, actually, this is my kid, now I want to marry her. Is he allowed to retract what he said? This is a question of a matla in a woman that says she is a need and then takes it back. So in Ksubas, we accept that and Chafiz. The Semach said that you can never take an amala in this situation because maybe they just pressured him to change his mind, but really he didn't actually change his mind on this. The Chazan Sofer is actually usually extremely machmer or sugi, and this he's actually pretty makel. He says because he said out of embarrassment, so amala just depends on the relative claim and depends on the excuse. He has a good excuse. That's why the reason he denied being the father is because he's embarrassed. And now he's pressured into it and he thought about more. He'll tell the truth. Chazans over Rebbe Krieger, Nodav Yehuda, all accept amalas as long as they're acceptable, good amalas. The Nodav Yehuda explains the reason not to accept amalas is because it would be a Maisa Resha, a terrible, awful, horrible thing to say. This is not my kid, and disabandon the kid. And now you want to now change your mind about taking care of the kid. So maybe we shouldn't believe you. Maybe this guy is a liar. Bris Yehuda brings another reason not to trust, because maybe she was they were over on Hilchos Nida. If she was a Penuya, that was Mazana, they obviously weren't doing the best things. Maybe we shouldn't trust them at all. The Ozer Poskim quotes an awful story, just in terms of that note. Yehuda says Maisa Rasha, a terrible thing to disabandon the kid and say, this is not my kid. He talks about a story where a woman said she became pregnant and then married a guy. And a few months later, she had a kid. 4 months later, and it certainly was before marriage. She said to the rabbis, people started wondering what's going on with this kid. So she said, oh, this is from my husband. We were together before the marriage. And the guy said, no way, we never do that. It's definitely not mine. The kid must be from some other goy, somebody else. So the goyim in town heard this and said, oh, the father's a goy. That means the child's a goy. They took the child away from the mother because according to their laws, they had custody to take away the child from the parents, put him in an orphanage. Later, the guy changed his mind and said, I really made a mistake. This is from me. And then the orphanage said to her, I'm sorry, you can't get it back. The kid died. And she was never allowed to even check if that was true or not. Then the Yemei Yosef is dealing with, do you trust Goyim? Is it considered, when do you trust a Goy on a Shaila, even on Derabanan? Is this considered that the goy was Masech Vitumo to lie that the child died, or they just want to keep the child in the orphanage. So he tries to figure out a kula because of Mizana. We're going to get back to Mizana, but he tries to figure out a kula in terms of the couple's last day married. But besides that, it seemed like a horribly ending story of somebody doing this Maisa Resha, disabandoning the kid, ended up, it could be, we lost the kid from Kali Sol because of such a Maisa Resha. Okay, the cool number one we said is the Beis Shmuel, that's not in the Shnei and Modim, the husband and wife both agree that it's their kid, we do trust them. That's muskam in almost all the poskim. Rav Avadia Yisrael will choose that he says it. In, change his mind. This is it. It's very important. If you accept DNA as good raya, then sure, then that would be a good proof. Yes, if it's like Eden. If it's not, so the Chaim Sofer believes in this area you need two Eden, and that the Yemei Yosef brings. He says if you have a goy is at best one aid, even as Matzeh Lepitumah. So the Chaim Sofer, you need two Eden, you can never trust it. I think not everybody agrees. The Chaim Sofer is extremely machmir in the sugya. It seems like no Behun and others accept one aid. So it could be DNA, according to some, might accept it. If you think it's mamish, just a reglaim, whatever, just a guess, then it's not going to be good.
But I'm saying the DNA then could be both either way. DNA could prove that. Like,
yeah. I think that it is a possibility. I think there's definitely a good svara here to accept DNA on a derabana and to accept proof. On these cases, Rav Avadia, let's say in his tshuva, in chelik 10, when he's dealing with nobody, he's not talking about DNA, even though he's living in an age when they could do a DNA test, probably because mamzerus, they didn't want to do DNA. They're dealing with mamzerus, that the husband's saying, "There's not my kid," because he doesn't want to have to pay for the child's food. But yes, that would be relevant for sure. Cool number two is if you hire a meneket and you make the meneket swear. We talked about this, Rabbi Yaakov. And that was based on the story of the Reish Galusa. Lamaisa is brought in Shulchan Aruch that we never accept that. Kula, the only thing that we could discuss being makel on is when she doesn't have an obligation to be nursing her child, like the Emuna Shmuel discusses. The Emuna Shmuel says, just like we'll talk about the Rash, who says, if a woman doesn't have to nurse her child when she's a divorcee, we'll talk about the Rash in a moment. So says the Emuna Shmuel, same thing about Almana. Sometimes she's a very rich lady. She has two nurses, two people helping her out. So she shvachot in the Gemara Ketubot, she has seven malachas she does in her house, and she has two shvachot. She's potter from doing hanukkah for her child. So if she's potter, why should we make her force her to have to not get married for 2 years just because of nursing her kid? She doesn't want to nurse her kid. She doesn't have to. That's one of the things she's patur from. That's the Amunah Shmuel. However, the Beis Shmuel rejects this. It's basically part of the little plug. And Noda Behuda and others, Noda Behuda basically says he's only willing to accept that Munah Shmuel if the entire family was rich and the minhag in this family was known before her husband died that she never nursed. And it wasn't just on the moment after her husband died, they said, actually we're not going to nurse because I don't want this gezeira to apply. Well, then for sure the gezeira does apply. The Munah Shmuel only would be relevant if it was known from before she was rich, comes from a rich family, and for sure they're not going to nurse because she has shvachot to take care of it. Then we could talk about that Munah Shmuel. Still, most folks don't accept the Munah Shmuel, but that's the only the place that we can accept if before the husband dies, we're hiring, we're going to hire a meneket after the husband dies. But if we knew that she was rich, we knew she was going to do this after her husband dies, she was from a rich family, then the Emunah Shmuel would be matir. But most poskim don't accept it. I'll just mention, kula number three is extremely tremendous kula that Rav Kook and many others say, look, all the halacha, takana chazal was for takana nevlad, was to try and help the kid. But if I can determine that the best interest of the kid is to levatel the takana, so yeshiva takana chachamim kigon zu shom in love. So if we can imagine, what would the child say if the child was older? So if the child was saying, look, I'd rather my parents be married and have a stepfather who would be supportive of me psychologically and physically and medically, would be better for me, spiritually would be better for me. So for sure, kigon zu shom in love. So nobody, to me, in my knowledge, had presented this in the last 1,000 years, even though it's very hard to imagine that nobody thought that this could have been said. And in fact, the Rivash says, even if there'll be a Korban Beta, the Kukula, she's going to go off to Tarbut Ra, she's going to go off the deep end. She says, I can't get married for 2 years, the Chazal are so machmir, I'm going to go be Mizane, she's going to go off to bad track. And also, Churban Beit is going to cause a terrible thing, rift for the rest of her family. And even though all these consequences might come out, says the Rivash, lo akru takana chamim. I don't care. That's called a shadchak. But still, Gazru is shadchak. So what? It's a shadchak. So I think it's very hard to imagine in my mind that the Rivash would readily accept this Rav Kook, just because, for sure, it would be better for the kid. Now, you could say, the Chazal makes a chiluk. He says, wait a minute. How could the Ryan Mintz, we'll talk about, tries to figure out a cooler wind's better for the kid, but what about the Rivash? He says, well, better for the kid is different than better for the mother. Yeah, okay, we can discuss such a thing. But not with such extreme terms. When the Rivash is describing that she's going to Targum Rosh, she's going to stop following Judaism, or she's going to be, Judaism included, but she's going to go and become a Zona, I can't imagine that's going to be a good result, having a Zona mother, a not married mother, who is poor, as good for a baby to be brought up in such a home than spiritually brought up in a married home. It's extremely hard to believe that the Rivash would have, and still the Rivash said the Ragoz there, hard to believe it. Yet, Rav Avadya quotes, and these are not found in the Shulchan Aruch Pesachei Tshuva, but he quotes them, the Agudah Zeizuv, and that the Shashuim, Maharas Margolios, he quotes a few Achronim, and the Marsham Brises as Asad, they're found in the Otzar Poskim, who said this, that they really like this, that whatever is better for the betterment of the child. I don't think most Poskim, I think Rav Moshe would not accept this at all, but Rav Avadya quotes in the Valley 5 Tshuvas. Right. Yes, that's what we're worried about. That's what Chazal were going there. Yeah, Chazal had a chashash racho, because if the child, if they get married, the child might die. So, maybe I think the Chas of the Sofer would agree with you, but I think Rav Kook would respond that Isser Derabbanan was made because of Chashash Rachuk. We don't treat it actually as a Gzeir because of Pulul Nefesh. We treat it as an Isser Derabbanan, and as long as I can find a compelling reason why this will be better for the kid, according to my Seichel, so I don't have to worry about that Chashash Rachuk that's going to cause the kid to die. Is it something called nefesh? No, I wouldn't say that's cool. If it's something called nefesh, the Chasam Sofer basically says, the Chasam Sofer has very harsh words for kulas in this area, particularly because of the called nefesh aspect, and for the kid. And I think that this kula is very difficult to understand. I wouldn't say this kula. I think Rav Kook is coming. Rav Kook is. Yeah. Maybe a person's not committing suicide by doing something that is a Shomer P'tayim Hashem. He's doing, the child is making an unwise decision. What we're arguing is that it's perfectly normal. No, that's Chazal. Right? So, Kuk Tazayin, Dama Barosha, right? So, we wouldn't praise someone who chose that path. What we're arguing here is that it wasn't. The motivation for Chazal was the Kol Nefesh. Ladina, we don't treat it as Kol Nefesh at all. No, to be Huda or Kayer, they don't accept the Chazal Zofer. They accept something Derban al Kula. The Chazal Zofer makes fun of that. He says, how can you say something Derban al Kula? I understand, but no, to be Huda did say it. He has very harsh words. I have some of them here. Basically, Miyamilo is Kantila Hajir Mineka Bishom Kulaba Olam, and he goes on and explains why, and he says, Kolamurim Yad Marim Yad Mikela Nashim Shil Hanik, because they think that Khashash Pikur Nefesh Miyuta Gazra Kol Nashim, so then Bato Tukana Khachamim, so Loya Khalki Mahim. In Shamayim, I don't want to be buried, I don't want to be in Shamayim next to their Zuchuyos, these Paskin, those are Paskin Lakula. He's very concerned with this issur because of Pikuach Nefesh. And I think what I'm saying, I would say almost 9 out of my 10 heterim now will not fit. I would say most of them, I don't know all. Many of them will not fit for the Chasam Sofer. But I'm only presenting. Yes, and even this Rav Kook, I believe, is a tremendous kula. I don't believe everybody agrees. I'm only saying Rav Avadya has. That this is a shita, this is a discussion that's willing to happen, and it's not an open orthodox shita, it is a argument within what the Chazal want. Almana, we have a kula is born in Shulchan Aruch that if she has simuk tadim and she can't nurse before the child of the husband dies, That's fine. That's the rush. She's not called a meneket. Has to happen 3 months before. There's a bunch of differentiations. It's pasuk chalba. Okay, there's a few differentiations. Three cases in Shulchan Aruch. Two of them have to happen 3 months before. One of them doesn't. The Rav Moshe has a fascinating shita where he's talking about a lady that her husband died tragically in Chelek Beis Simin Ches. That these are not every one of these are in the Makoros. That 2 months after she gave birth, her husband died, and she became depressed. And the doctor said, stop nursing because of her depression. And then Rav Moshe says, therefore her milk stopped, and now even if she changed her mind, the depression started going away, she can't nurse the child, and it would be a sakana to nurse the child for the child's sake because the milk became, or seed became poisonous. I don't have any idea in the medical reasons for this. The Chacham Tzvi in the 1700s discussed milk that was poisonous, even though I couldn't find any evidence. The Chalkab and Yaman has a discussion about what did the Chacham Tzvi mean that the milk became poisonous. He says, the Nishmas of Ram says, we never heard of such a thing medically. And the only thing he says that's close is allergy, the child being allergic to milk, but that's not... Right. Okay. But in the Chacham Tzvi's day, they had that. So, fine. So if Rav Moshe is talking about that, I don't know what Rav Moshe is talking about. Fine. Whatever the Matzias is, we'll see the doctors. There was a sakana, and according to the Chacham Tzvi, he says that should be like the rush. Simuk Dadim, she can't nurse, and therefore it's allowed. My only ha'ara to make with Rav Moshe is, does this apply if it happens after the death of the husband? She then was a meneket. She actively nursed for 2 months and then decided not. And then from doctor order, she stopped. So I would love this for sure included. And there would be Yehuda, in fact, in the Pesach Tshuva it's quoted, Beferish, that the Simuk Dadim, if she stops nursing because of a medical reason, after the death of her husband, it's Osir. So Rav Moshe says, you're right, I saw the note of Yehuda. But I also saw in the Otzer Poskim quote the Shem, the Chacham Tzvi, that he says it's okay if the milk becomes poisonous even afterwards, so therefore you can be meikel. Something derabana lekula. So first of all, I looked up, I was perplexed. The Chacham Tzvi, I learned the Pesach Tshuva, doesn't quote this Chacham Tzvi. And Nod Behuda is quoted, Nod Behuda here is quoted in several places about this exact issue. It has to happen before the death. She's not called a meneket, and that sounds like in the Rush. The Rush says three times in his writings, quoted Midah Baila. So what do we say? So what's Pshat with the Chacham Tzvi? I looked up, in fact, the Otzer Poskim quotes it from Migdalei Shem, B'Shem Chacham Tzvi. Who says such a thing? But unfortunately, it doesn't give the Maror Makom where in the Chacham Tzvi, but we found it. It's the same tshuva that the Be'er Hayyadiv quotes in the Chacham Tzvi, that the milk is poisonous, and that doesn't say anything about being after the death of the husband. The only thing he says is if she knew the milk was going to be poisonous because she, according to the doctors, three of her children died because her milk was poisonous, so then even before her fourth kid, she should have nursed because she knows her milk's going to be poisonous, even though the child was born after the husband died. So that's not the Menorah Yehuda quotes the Chacham Tzvi in his same tshuva, and he says the Chacham Tzvi is not a rai against me because even though she didn't stop nursing before her husband died, she stopped nursing after her husband died. But it was well known that she was going to do that because the doctor ordered her to do it from before her husband died. She had this condition that was present in advance of when she should be in the meneket. She's not mubarak meneket kaima. She's not ready to become meneket. She's not supposed to be a meneket. So I was rather bewildered by this finding that. A quote that's third hand from a Chacham Tzvi, which Chacham Tzvi never said. And in fact, that same. So maybe Rav Moshe didn't see the Chacham Tzvi. Fine. But he saw the Otzer Poskim, the same Otzer Poskim, he actually quoted Migdalei Shem. He quotes the Menchat Pitim, they quote three Poskim, who all say that the Chacham Tzvi doesn't mean what this that someone else quoted in the Chacham Tzvi is saying. So I'm perplexed. Why didn't he just go to the end of the Otzer Poskim? So I don't know. Maybe the person who gave him the. Otzer Poskim only cut out the paragraph of the one Meikel who quoted the Chacham Tzvi incorrectly and forgot to quote the others who correctly quote the Chacham Tzvi. So I was bothered by that a lot. But I can't say against Rav Moshe because Rav Moshe himself, after he says that paragraph, something to Rav Lekula, he says, but in fact, can I explain the Svar? He says, yeah, I'll explain the Svar for this. Simuk Dadim is for sure she's not a Meneket, even if it happens afterwards, because There's no reason we should assume she decided to make this to have this condition. Obviously, Hashem brought it upon her. It's not part of the gezeira. The gezer was only made if a woman weans her kid early, gamaltal, atu lo gamaltal, because maybe we're afraid she did it too early. But we're not going to, there's no gezer that she had a medical condition. The doctor didn't tell her she didn't bring this upon herself. She just happened. So he says that svara, and then he tries to medayik in Shulchan Aruch. He says he runs into problem because the Beis Shmuel is against him. The Beis Shmuel basically says it has to happen before the death. He says tambua. The Beis Shmuel is a difficult thing. The Beis Shmuel is quoting the Beis Yosef, the Farish. The Drisha says the same Marashal, the same chat. The Chalkum Achokik all say this chat. So and he has one kasha in the reading of Shulchan Aruch, and I don't think it's mochrach that between two of the cases, between something that and pasuk chabad, there's no difference. I think the Chachamim Yamim gives a simple answer to what the real difference is in terminology, and the Otzer Poskim also do. So I think it's a little bit more sarachian on Rav Moshe, why he decided that that case should not be included in Meineket. It seems not to be included in what the Chacham Tzvi actually said, but Ha'arah nonetheless. Okay, I guess I can't go through all the coolers. I'm going to skip to artificial insemination now. Okay, there's Birkei Yosef, back to the source sheets, that source 15. So I guess I have to mention these. Right? Reis mentioned to me there's different approaches in the poskim on how do we treat. Like Rabbi Bleich was bringing up the Tveret. Moshe has a long tshuva about a case of an almana and a bunch of kulas, and he basically says, the case of the actual Tveret Shmuel was an almana family, never nursed, like that Muna Shmuel, and husband died.
It's not what you're talking about.
Yeah, the Tveret Shmuel, the Tveret Lamosha. I meant Tveret Lamosha. I didn't mean Tveret Shmuel. I meant Tveret Lamosha. Oh no! That's they were taking away. The rabbis of the town. The people were forcing them. They were gonna stop paying them their rabbinic salary, their stipend. Ratzu liv sok lahem. They're gonna. I thought it was
like.
Lipsok could all so pasuk end. Okay, that's how. Okay, so whatever the event is, he says from his grandfather Rabbi Heschel, the Rabbi of the Shach and the Shlah and contemporary of the Marshal, many others. Rabbi Marshal, Herschel was Machmir. Heschel was Machmir. On such a case, but Kol Chachmei Vienza were all ready to be makeup. He's like the Chamun and Shmuel, and he says, "You should know the reason they're machmir is because Kana Asuma. It's a tremendous danger to be makeup on these sort of things. Amor Lahaka because there is. If you're going to be makeup, it's a very big danger. Like the Chacham, like the Chassam Sofer says, Shomer Nafshu Yer Chachmei says you should be very careful about this because it's a danger. Because if you're putting the kin in danger, Midigan Mida Hashem might punish you." And he says, "By the way, there's a story of Rav Sheptel. He's the son of the Shlah." Was a big a rabbi of Frankfurt and Pinsk, a big abbez in his day, author of Yesh Nochlim and author of Vavi Amudim. And he says, the Shrep Sheftel paskin on a case lukula like this, and Hashem causes untimely death that very year. So he says, Machmir Tabo Labracha, Baal Nefesh Yachush La'atzo. You should be very careful not to paskin lukula on this. So that does make a resounding wave, this Tveret Lamosha. And now he doesn't have a commentary on Ebenezer, but he has one little tshuva in Hakdamah to Yoridea where he throws this in, and then everybody quotes it throughout our simon. But the Yeshiva Nefesh, okay, 1700, not as famous tshuva, but he says, "Stop scaring me about this Tveret Lamosha." He goes through this sugya. He's extremely makel. He quotes the Maramin, some of Zona, and he says, Zona's mutter. Okay. But basically against the Shulchan Aruch. But he says, you might tell me, he said, I didn't know about this. He said, my derech is not looking at Achron. But you show me a Tveret Lamosha that says that people who pass among this, the Kula might die. So he said, I'm not worried about this. How do I know? Because look, there are other people who pass in the Kula on this Shaila. He said, not this Shaila, but on Mugar Medek Chaver Chacham Tzvi, and he lived for a long time. And he goes a few others. The Shvus Yaakov and some others. So he said, I'm not worried about this. And he said, in fact, if the pashas of the sugi is to be makel, look, I'm helping out a poor lady. Why should I be machmer on this? You want to be machmer because of the sakana? But my, there's a big mitzvah over here to help a little, to help a poor lady, chash le'aniyim, the poor lady, saram, b'shalo adam rashai, b'lo b'shal chim. You want to be machmer, go right ahead, not on someone else's back. And that's why he's makel on this. The Rosh Hashanah, it said, like when I looked, only lived till he was like 65, so I don't know if that's considered young or old, I have no idea. The Meshiva Nevesh also lived somewhere and is like 68. I don't know if that's young or old for this, but I can't really imagine the Tzaddik Moshe's curse so much applied to that tshuva. Ravad Yerav Moshe had dozens of tshuvas on these things. Rav Moshe is making all many examples. I think as much as the Chacham Tzaddik Moshe was worried about this, most of the posts, my understanding, treat this like a regular shayla. They're careful, and you have to pass in kahalacha, not extra makel. Okay, what about artificial insemination? But the Chacham Tzvi is extremely machmer, and he mentions this Tzvi Moshe. Two stadim lahakel. 17, one stadim lahakel is going to be milta loshecha lo gazer rabbanan. The rabbis are makel on anything that's not common. The Birkei Yosef has a big... So, okay, milta loshecha lo gazer rabbanan, do we say it by Avchana? Basically, 17, 18, 19, yes. It's Shulchan Aruch, it's based on two Lashonos in the Gemara Nivamos. And even though it's a low plug, we say, I thought this is part of the relevant Chakir. Do you say Milta Shulchan, low plug? Do you not? Actually, some posts do say it that way, but Pashup Shad is, there's nothing to do with it. When you want to say another Lashon, low plug, you're another way of saying, it's not included in the Gezerah. So it could be low plug, it doesn't really matter. That's why it's really not a Kasha at all. So Avchana could be low plug and still you say Milta Shulchan. The Mari Mintz 20 says by Zona we say he has three reasons to matter Zona. One of them is, by the way, just the first one is very interesting. He says if you're going to save the mother from being a mufkeret, from being mezana with more people, so that should be like Chatev Shel Shetiske, like the Gemara in Gittin and many other places. Chatev Shel Shetiske. So that type of svar is thrown around the Achronim in a lot of places. But the third svar of the Mari Mintz says we should make Olan Zona the Milta L'Shchicha. That a woman should become pregnant through znut, because mezana is mitapecha mezana. So we're not worried that she can become pregnant, and never the rabbis will never go there. Even though the Mari Mintz says it, Lamaisa, we have something similar about the Rav Mordechai Tremaisa in 21 that he suggested zona should be mutter. A different reason based on the Rash about having to be meineket, and lo hodu lo chachamim. The rabbis, the Hagos Mordechai says the rabbis never agreed with him, and in fact in the Shulchan Aruch it says. Where goes or loisa adam in sifyan aleph may nekem uber chaverah ben garusha ben amar ben zona end of story doser. The Ramah says yeshomrim some were matcha the zona and they were makel by mufkari through in the Mari Mintz but not this hagos Mordechai that alone. So in the Ozer posting the quarter dozen posting they were not makel just on zona every zona that itself were not makel like the both Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, there is one perplexing tshuva in the Rebbe Yehuda where basically he was Mekel, but nobody else before or after, and his son even of Rebbe Yehuda basically said, I wasn't Mekel based on that, and Rebbe Yehuda also had some other sirusim anyway. The svara of Enosh, Mitzvah L'Shchicha Lo Gazer Rabban, does everybody agree with that? That's a correct svara? So I would say, Pashas, no. Just like we don't accept the Mari Mintz, we should say, now everybody agrees, Mitzvah L'Shchicha actually matters this. Why not? So, the Rabbi Kager tries to revive this sheet of being Mizana, the Mari Mintz, the Mizana should be Mekel. He answers a question I'm not going to get into, but he thinks the Iker Svara to be Mekel is not the Lashon HaGazer Rabbanan. Rav Moshe says the other way. The Iker Svara is she's not obligated to be Meneket. He doesn't think it's totally incorrect to say not the Lashon HaGazer Rabbanan. The question is, which one's the Iker Svara? But just in terms of the Ramah, the Mitzvah L'Shchicha Ramazan didn't even make it to the Darkei Moshe or Ramah. So it's hard to say that's the Iker reason, at least for Rav Moshe Israelist. The Birkei Yosef, he has the case, what about a woman who comes into Abir Be'am Bati? She's pregnant because she was in a Be'ah. Do we have a question on Mubar Medek Chavir? He brings the Gemara Chagiga that says, a woman who's in Abir Be'am Bati, could she marry Kohen Gadol? And the Gemara's question, Shal Ben Zoma, worried, is she a Betula or not? So he says, wait a minute, forget the Betula question or not. Kohen, and our parsha has to marry Petula, but Kohen Gadol, wait a minute, she's Muberet Chaveiro, if she's Muberet. So the Birkei Yosef says, And don't tell me they wait the 24 months, because she's no longer a psula if she gives birth. If she was muberet and now they waited a bunch of months, she's given birth, and for sure she's not a psula. So that's how the Birkei Yosef says, I have approved. There's no din of muberet. Well, maybe it could be docha. This child of Ben Zora might be pre-gezira muberet and chavir. It's not in any Mishnah. It's not even clear which Brises to begin with. It's certainly not Urayim, like the Mugar Menech Chaveru. So, maybe Bein Zomad was pre the Takana. Oh, that was my answer. Thank you, Rabbi. So, if it was Yosef Dovid, the Brit of Ram, I believe, answers that as well. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, someone quotes that and says, that's a Doha. To say that the Gemara is talking about a C-section. Oh, yeah, there's... I wrote down five reasons why I think this is not a raya at all. One of them is there's so many kulos in Muber Minech Chaveru. If Rav Nachman, the Gemara said if you hire Minechet, there's no problem in Muber Minech Chaveru. So Ben Zoma could have been talking the case according to Rav Nachman. There's no problem. If you follow the Rash, there's no problem on Grusha. Grusha, that's irrelevant. Sorry, but Mizan according to the Marimins and the Hagos Mordo and that Mordechai Mitzchamayza. So this lady could have been the Znus. So according to Znus, there's no problem. And for the other two reasons the Mariminsk gave. So, and then another reason is, it could be this is from her husband, and they're both modes. It's from this Kohen Gadol, with however, Nitab Rabbati, he had Zerah Nabati, and Shnei Modem, the child comes from him. And there's so many examples of, there's a lot of other examples, or the C-section. So, although it's very easy, I think, to bidocha this, Lamaisa to gedolim bring this raya, the Birkei Yosef, and the Hafla and Shechon Antila, the Shevet also brings it, another source, but the Birkei Yosef himself rejects it. He says it's not so sure, because anyway, the Gemara is not talking about a din derech raya, not talking about a practical halacha, Lamaisa shayla, could she marry Kohen Gadol? We're talking about, like, in theory. Nobody ever heard of Ozon Lo Shema, the Ayra, that there should be a Muber Chaver marrying Kohen Gadol. Like, the shayla to Ben Zoma was a theoretical one, so it's talking about a din derech. Is she betula or is she not betula? Wasn't talking about a Muber Minei Chaveru. So the Birkei Yosef himself is not sure what to do with it. The Karam Shlomo, apparently, he's a guy I've seen, he's like a kitzer of the dinim in Ebenezer. So he quotes the kitzer of Birkei Yosef, but apparently he gets, I say, the bad rap because he's the machmir against the Birkei Yosef. Why? Because it was supposed to be Mechanka Binyamin, Ravadi, everybody quotes him as saying that. Now, really, I don't know why everybody quotes him that, because he just quotes word for word the Birkei Yosef. And he just quotes him the first half of it. So I don't know why the first half were mistopic. And then, so I'm not really sure what he said, what he added to the conversation. He's just a kitzer of some dinim. And he quotes the Birkei Yosef. But there are real reasons to not accept the Birkei Yosef. One of them is that the Radach, Mardach says a svar. You don't say on something that's a takana. We only say that on a gezeira. If Chazal were trying to help out a situation, not to hurt the situation. Only for the gzeiras or chashash rachuk, we don't say it. That's the Maram Shik's reason why Mezana, even though it's not Shkiach, is still Gazru. Same Cain, Berkei Yosef's also up a creep, not going to help. So that's one reason. Another reason was in 39, the Beis Yitzchak, that if they were goes on a double rachuk anyway, that she's going to, that the child of new husband would be so cruel and they're going to kill the kid. For that, there goes there. So for sure, there also goes there. Maybe by Beit Shalom to be Yantiv, we could talk about a little Shlucha, or by Shlucha Halacha and Avdal in Gittin. But not about a Chashash, a type of Gezerah they made for such weird cases. There goes there, and Mithil Shlucha also. The different Malkil says, Mithil Shlucha Lugazarban can only be relevant in 40 on things that's like part of a low plug, where the Chashash doesn't really apply. But not where she's actually pregnant. We have Nedav Rabati, she's actually pregnant. You want to make on her that she can get married? But what's going to happen to the kid? There's no reason to be making on that. So then he wants to make a chiluk that we never make it. And the Yeshua's Yaakov, Beis Meir, other reasons they basically reject this. In one short way to say, is the son of the Beis Shlomo, or Shlomo Vilna, he says, a person, a farmer, didn't realize the dinam of Bechor. And cooked in their pasta, Bechor became a Kshira in 38. And then now they didn't know which path were traced. So they asked, and they said, maybe, the Shlomo said, maybe she'd be mutter because it's gzira of ena ben yomato ben yomo, and the middle of shlicha lo gazu be rabbana to have a bechor behemet Torah that people didn't realize, and they make a shift to a goy, and they shecht and ate and they cooked in their pots. So today it's only derabban, all the pots are kosher. The Beis Shlomo says yishtakeh davar ve'loyachdemer. This is incorrect and misapplication of middle of shlicha lo gazu rabbana. We only say what Chazal said nowhere else. Now I think that's a possibility if you want to constrict the din completely, like the Beis Meir, basically like the Beis Shlomo did, but. I think there's other ways as well. Basically, my approach, I think, Weibling has a good article in Beit Yitzchak, has analyzing the four different Gemaras that deal with Mehotel Shechah, and basically he says you have a Chilk Mehoti. I think you could do it without the Mehoti part of it, but you have to have a real Halachic Chilk, and just making up a new Chilukim, just because this case happened to be uncommon, is very unlikely that that's called Mehotel Shechah Gazer Rabbanan. Going back to that Tshuva Ramosha has about Avchana is probably very difficult. But to summarize the end in the 1 minute, I guess, from 43 until 46 is all the poskim. There are two reasons that poskim are makel on artificial insemination. One is the lishchol gazer rabbanan. Another one is it happened after the marriage began. And I think there are five reasons not to accept the Birka Yosef. So that one is not such a good reason. The other one, although the Avnei Malom said it, I think is also questionable in my understanding. But Lamaisa, I will chas v'shalom question that Rav Moshe, the Rebbe Yitzchak Frank, Rav Shlomo Zalman, we're all makel, not having a Menech Havero by artificial insemination. Although the Titel Yezer Chalki Yaakov were Machmir. So yes, that the Chalki Yaakov says, the Ramosha is not right about that. Titel Yezer also brings that. But Ramosha would go back to the second reason. He said, because of the Avnei Malum, that the Gezer doesn't play after the marriage. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, as much as he's makel, he still says, yeah, but it doesn't get us out of Havchana unless you go back to the Birkei Yosef. He says, the pastor is Lamaisa, that they need at least 3 months separate. Not 24, he's makel on that, but 3 months they'd have to separate because of Havchana. The only way to get out of that is you really think, the little Shilhu Gazer Rabbanan, which is, would, if it is a good reason, get you out of both Gezeiras. Provided in the beginning was Machram on 24 months, later felt like Rav Shlomo Zalman.